Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Beliefs regarding the messengers. Belief number one, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam are the pure and chaste servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who were sent by Allah ta'ala to guide his servants so that the creation be brought closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and onto the straight path, and they be saved from deviation. They were human beings and possess all human propensities and qualities. They receive knowledge directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, called wahi, revelation. They possess the greatest knowledge in their times and amongst their people. Belief number two, to be a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a Nabi or Rasul, is a special gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can never be acquired or earned through striving or effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses for this task whomsoever He wills. Number three, it is necessary to believe in and honor all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. To reject even one Nabi is tantamount to rejecting all the Anbiya alayhi salam, since all the Anbiya taught the same principles, even though they differed in the subsidiary matters. Number four, all the Anbiya alayhi salam are pure and chaste servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are free from major and minor sins, due to which they are referred to as ma'soom, sinless. This belief is part of iman. If the Anbiya alayhi salam were not pure and free from sin, Allah ta'ala would never have ordered their implicit and absolute obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have equated obedience to them as obedience to Him. If any slip up occurs in a Nabi, due to forgetfulness or by mistake, then we will attribute it to an outside factor and not as an inherent fault. The natural disposition of the Anbiya alayhi salam is purity. A slip up by a Nabi can never be counted as a sin, since they are not naturally disposed to evil. For example, the mistake of Adam alayhi salam was due to forgetfulness. No one else besides the Anbiya alayhi salam are sinless. Number five, the Anbiya alayhi salam were the trustworthy servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would never conceal or hide any part of the message of Allah and the truth out of fear of any person. All the Anbiya alayhi salam fulfilled their duties most perfectly and were successful, even if no one accepted them. Number six, the Anbiya alayhi salam are never removed from their post. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose knowledge is complete and all-encompassing, will never choose a person who will turn out to be unworthy of that post. Number seven, the rank of some messengers surpass the rank of others. The rank of a Rasul is higher in status than of a Nabi. A Rasul is a specific and special messenger, whereas a Nabi is a general messenger. Every Rasul is a Nabi, but not every Nabi is a Rasul. That is, every Rasul is a Nabi, but not every Nabi is a Rasul. A non-Nabi can never be equal to a Nabi. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, the seventh juz was recited in the Taraweeh Salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to the qissa, the background of the first verse, وَإِذَا سَمِئُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. What was the background of this verse? When the Muslims were persecuted tremendously in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, advised them, that you should go to Ethiopia or Abyssinia, because he is a very kind person, very kind king, by the name of Najashi, and maybe you can take some refuge over them. So a group of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, including Hazrat Usman radiallahu and his wife Hazrat Ruqayya, who was the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this way plus minus about 80 of them migrated to Abyssinia. Over there, the Christians, the Najashi, welcomed them, looked after them, etc. But because the Quraysh could not tolerate this, that the Muslims migrated over there and enjoying serenity and peace, so they decided to take gifts and go to Abyssinia and offer gifts to Najashi on a pretext that they should be expelled and sent back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. But because he was a very just king, he told the Muslims that, let me hear what you have to say first. Hazrat Jafar bin Abi Talib, who was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stepped forward and he started explaining regards to tenets and the beliefs of Islam and with regards to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Najashi acknowledged that these are in also mentioned in the Injil, and what you are saying is very, very true. And he gave back the gifts to these people and said, you can return, these people will stay over here. Thereafter, after the stability was granted to the Muslims when they went to and made hijrah to Madinatul Munawwarah, these people, Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu, on the entire entourage, the Jamaat of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, went to Madinatul Munawwarah. And with them, Najashi sent a group of plus minus 60 people so that they also can listen to the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he came in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited from the beginning of Surah Yasin, and whilst reciting the verse wa idha sami'u, that when they heard what was revealed to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then tara a'yunahum tafidu min ad-dam, then you will see the eyes are flowing with tears or because of what they have understood and recognized of the truth. So imagine how powerful was the Quran al-Kareem, and immediately alhamdulillah these people accepted Islam and Iman, and they went back over there and they informed Najashi, and Najashi himself alhamdulillah accepted Islam. He even sent a second delegation together with his son, but unfortunately en route they had all drowned. So nevertheless, this is the power of the Quran al-Kareem, which melted the hearts of these Christians. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Basid, rahmatullah alayhi, the legend in Qiraat, it is mentioned about him when Jamal al-Nasr went to Russia for some work. So he asked Shaykh Abdul Basid, rahmatullah alayhi, to accompany him. So he went over there, and in the parliament, understand, these were communists. These were such people when Muslims were under their control. Then to have a copy of or Mus'haf of the Quran al-Kareem deserved a death penalty. So Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Basir rahmatullah was introduced, and thereafter they asked him to recite a couple verses of the Quran al-Kareem. And then he looked down and started reciting, and after a few verses he looked up and he saw these very Russians, communists, hard-hearted people, that tears were flowing from their eyes. This is the miraculous nature of the Quran al-Kareem. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the law of khamar and wine and gambling, etc. Allah mentions, Ya ayyuhallatheena amanu, O people of Iman, indeed alcohol, maysir, that is gambling, wal ansab, that is worshipping of idols, wal azlam, divinity by arrows, ritsum min amali shaitan, it is a filth and foul, it is a gandagi and acts of the shaitan. Fashtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun, O sahaba radiallahu anhu, O the ummat, restrain from it, abstain from it, so that you can be successful. You are also a person, understand that this was the last verse, because gradually khamar, which was very, very beloved to the Arabs at that time, they were very so addicted to the khamar. Now look at the and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understood the mizad and temperament of these people, that it to all at once now to make khamar and alcohol haram, immediately it become very, very difficult. Initially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, yes alunaka anil khamr wal maysir, they will ask you about khamar, about alcohol. Qul fihi ma ithmun kabir, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tell them, in these two things, gambling and alcohol, there is a great sins, there is some little benefit, but wa ithmuhuma akbaru min nafihima, but the sins far outweigh the benefit. Thereafter, some sahaba radiallahu anhu stayed away from him, some sahaba still carry on drinking. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the next the gradual degree, that وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةُ وَأَنْتُمْ سَكَارَى. What it mentioned, one sahabi radiallahu anhu was made the imam of the Maghrib Salam, And in the Maghrib Salah, he started reading Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. And we know in Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, the Alam Alif, La A'budu Ma Ta'budun, Wa La Antum. All negating everything. And this person, because he was intoxicated, he left all the Lams, Lam Alifs, and this changed the entire meaning. So Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, now do not approach Salah in this intoxication. Day after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. And we know what was the level of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. That alcohol that was in a casket, that when this ayat was revealed, that casket, it was destroyed. That alcohol was in that casket did not reach the jug. That was in the jug did not reach the utensil or the cup. That was in a cup did not reach the throat. And that was in the throat, whilst in the mouth, did not go down the throat. If it was me and you, we will say one last one for the road, whilst we can enjoy it. But this was the iman of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Immediately they got rid of it. And on that day it was mentioned that as if though rivers of wine were flowing in Madinatul Munawwara. And what is the cause of this effect of this khamar? Allah mentioned, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. The shaitan is the one who wants to cast you in enmity and malice. Fil khamr wal maisir, and with regards to alcohol and gambling. وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And not only that, he wants to prevent you from the zikr of Allah and from salah. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. So why don't you now resist and stay away from it? So this is the main thing the person understand, that it destroys social living, and it brings about ill harmony amongst people, and destroys values when a person is drunk. And in today's time, the drugs is also falls under this category. Kullu muskirin haram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, every intoxicant is haram. And in our times, we see the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, alhamdulillah, after they left the drinking of wine, you will never find of a relapse. You will never find they had rehabilitation, for going for rehab, etc. Today we have rehab centers, etc. They're coming, entering, leaving all the time. Why? Because they are so addicted to it. The relapse they are getting used to, and also they are milking them with their money, etc. So this is very, very important that a person stay away from all this khamar and all types of drugs. To such an extent, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed so many categories of regards to wine. Those people who squeeze those grapes, those people who transport it, for whom it is transported, those who manufacture it, for whom it is manufactured, the one who pours it, the one who serves it, everyone is cursed and under the la'nat and the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in one verse of the Quran al-Kareem, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum. O people of iman, that be content with yourselves. Be happy with yourselves. La yadurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. That those people who are astray will not cause any harm to you as long as you are guided. Yeah, a person should understand, according to the text of this verse, a person might think, let me carry on with my ibadat, let me carry on with my tilawat, my salah, etc. There's no need for me to make effort on other people. As Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that you read a certain verse of the Quran al-Kareem, and he mentioned and recited this entire verse. And then he told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, when any evil is committed in the presence of a person, and he does not forbid him, he does not stop him from doing that action, then he fears a calamity, a punishment will see such people. Hazrat Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullahi mentioned, the actual meaning of this verse is, that those people who are making ibadat on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, etc., they should continue making Amr bil Maruf and Nahi al-Munkar. And those people who do not listen to them, who do not take heed to their advices, they will not cause harm to such people. So this is the meaning of the verse. And mudahanat fi deen is something very, very important. When a person sees wrong, then he should not be swept under the carpet, but rather make manat effort towards rectifying the situation, and according to wisdom, with tacting, try to explain to that person the wrong, the evils and harms of it, and bring him back on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very important verse of the Quran al-Kareem, where he mentions, that wazayyanalahu shaytanu, before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned with regards to punishments that were afflicted to certain people. Why? Wazayyanalahu shaytan, because shaytan beautified the actions for them. Thereafter Allah says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, that when they forgot of the reminders that were given to them, then فَتَحْنَا عَلِيمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah says, we open not one door but many doors of good. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا, until to such an extent when they started rejoicing, becoming happy of what they were given, then Allah says, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ, that we seized them immediately all of a sudden, and they were of the people who had regretted. So yeah, a person should understand, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rope to a certain person. That a person, this also a rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person continuing committing sins, there, and people will give him nasihat, the Quran will be recited to him, the wa'az, nasihat will be given from the mimbar. But then if this person is also obstinate, now he doesn't want to change, now Allah will open doors of ni'mat and bounties. That is why, sir, many Muslims have this thought, and they ask this question, how come that Muslim over there, that brother or that sister, they are involved in so much of gunas, but Allah is favoring them with so much of bounties. So this is not this is in fact an azab, or what we call istidraj. This is a respite given to them. Allah will give them, continue giving the rope, until when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulls the rope, then it is the end of it. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah mentions farihu. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of the regards to the Quran al-Kareem, that this is a Quran al-Kareem, maw'izatun min rabbikum wa shifa'u lima fi sudur wa huda wa rahmatun lil mu'mineen. It is a maw'iza, is a beautiful nasihat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a shifa for your hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِي فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَهُ, that saying, through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through His mercy, with regards to these things, with regards to the Quran al-Kareem, our deen of Islam, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the month of Ramadan, all those things bring the person closer to Allah. فَلْيَفْرَهُ, these are the occasion a person expresses his joy. And unlike Fir'aun, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, when the people reminded him and told him that make effort towards the akhirah, what did he say? قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ وَلَا إِلْمٍ, that this whatever has given because of my own my intelligence or because of my expertise, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَفْرَحْ, that ya farah means do not become boastful and do not make tall claims. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ, Allah does not love such people. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. In this verse, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told that, O Nabi of Allah, do not disperse, do not chase away those people who are calling unto Allah morning and evening seeking His pleasure. The background of this verse, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, like Hazrat Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Bilal Habshi radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, who were poor Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they used to sit in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Masjid al-Nabawi. And thereafter, because they used to work and were very, very poor, they used to wear woolen clothes. And when they used to perspire, sometimes you give offensive smell. So now, this way, when I come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Akra bin Habis, very, very delegates from the Quraysh used to come, and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that why are these people sitting with you? That we cannot tolerate sitting with such people. Rather, disperse them, send them away one side, and then we will come and sit with you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to win them over, to make them comfortable and win their hearts over towards Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. They said, no, we want it in writing. Thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Ali radiallahu anhu, and before he could put a pen to paper, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, that oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not disperse the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They are very beloved to me, morning and evening they are calling unto me, making my ibadat, seeking my pleasure. another verse in the 15th para, similar verse and similar condition, wahi was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladhina yad'una rabbahum min ghadati wal 'ashi yuriduna wajha. That oh Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one interpretation is given that the sahaba radiyallahu anhu were making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a masjid. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one of his consort, one of his wives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, telling Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are your companions, that and they have love for me. So now show them how to make the zikr of Allah. Show them how to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That go and make sabr, go sit with such people and join them and show them how to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something very, very important, to sit in the company of the mashayikh. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his qudrat, that وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمْهَا إِلَّا هُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Vahim, he has the keys of the unseen. لَا يَعْلَمْهَا إِلَّا هُ. No one has knowledge of it except he. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is happening in the earth and what is happening in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ مِنْ ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that not a leaf falls from a tree except it is in the knowledge of Allah. Not a seed that grows in the crevices of the earth, in the darkness of the earth, except Allah knows about it. Not a something which is moist or something which is dry, except it is in the kitab, manifest kitab, in the lohi mahfuz, and it is recorded. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of. And you will find many, many verses in Surah Al-An'am describing the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, yeah, rutab al-ratb has been mentioned, something which is moist. The Mufassirin mentioned that all those things which grow, all the animate objects, riyabis, those things which are dry, all those things, and the ulama explained, those things which can't grow, and all inanimate objects. So this is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how that leaf falls, how it's going to fall, how it is falling presently, what happens to the leaf, which animal ate of it, which direction the wind blew it, what happened to the leaf, etc. Everything, the finer details, everything is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this verse, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَيَّبَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّنْ فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that saying, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is qadir, he is powerful, and he has the qudrat over sending punishments over his bandas from above them or beneath them, or he cast them in some type, divide them into various factions, that is create confusion amongst their ranks and their divisions. وَيُضِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَعْسَ بَعْضٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause you to taste of each other's brutality. So what is the beautiful explanation that is given to the Mufassirin? One is the punishment, like it was mentioned last night, Jaza'ul Amal, that how many nations were destroyed from above. For example, that Ad, the Qawm of Ad were destroyed on a very violent wind. The Qawm of Thamud with a scream from above. The Ashab feel pebbles from above. The Qawm Lut, the pebbles rained upon them. So, and Bani Israel, so many punishments came from above. Then, O min tahti arjulikum, beneath them, like Hazrat Shu'ayb al-Islam's people, that they were destroyed by an earthquake. Qarun was swallowed by the earth. And Fir'aun and his people was drowned in the sea, beneath them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, oh, yudhiqa ba'dakum ba'sa ba'd, and will also cause you to taste the punishment of others. And what is the explanation of this verse? As Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu also mentions, min fawqikum, does not only mean punishment directly from Allah, it can mean from people above you. For example, the government above you, the people of an authority over you. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I am malikul mulk, I am the king of all kings, sovereignty belongs to me, governments are in my hand. And as long as people do righteous deeds and turn towards me, then I will shower their hearts, that is the kings, the governors, with mercy. And I will tell them to deal justly and with rahmat towards the subordinates. But when a person now is neglectful of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, involved in sin, etc., then the very same government those people who are above you will cause some type of destruction to you, and this is because of your sins. كَمَا تَكُونُونَ كَذَلِكَ يُعَمَّرُ عَلَيْكُمْ. How you are, what actions you do, similarly the leaders will be appointed of you. أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُمَّالُكُمْ. According to your actions, so that, according to that, leaders will be appointed over you. And beneath you, ya Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions, those below you, for example, your subordinates, your children, your workers, and those people who are below you. To such an extent, Abu Sufyan Sauri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, that whenever I committed a guna, then I could see the ill effect of that guna in my servant. I could see the ill effect of it on my horse, etc. It became very obstinate and stubborn towards me. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned another verse, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّ بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا مِمَا كَانُ يَكْسِبُونَ. That we appoint some people, بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ, some oppressors over others. Why? On account of the wrong they had done. So, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned with regards to those factions that people break up into factions, into groups, divisions, etc. They are a nation or community breaks up into factions and parties and start confronting one another. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to one masjid, Masjid Bani Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and there Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made three duas. What was the duas? First dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, oh Allah, do not destroy my ummah through famine. This dua was accepted. Do not destroy my ummah by drowning. In other words, the whole ummah by drowning. This dua was also accepted. The after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, oh Allah, do not destroy my ummah by infighting. This dua was not accepted. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua and tell the sahaba, la tarji'u ba'di kuffaran yadribu ba'dukum niqaba ba'd. That do not become renegades and turn away from the deen of Islam, that you strike your swords against one another. That this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when a person are united and they stand on one platform. Al-mu'minuna ka-rajulin wahid, one body in the air. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa, all the believers are our brothers. But we have to also be careful of those factions, those groups, like the Shias, the Qadianis, the other groups that want to deviate us from away from the party of the Ahl Sunnah wa Jamaat, from the maslak of the Akabir of Dioban, etc. So we have to be very, very careful with regards. That is why alhamdulillah we're doing this Akaid, to get our Akaid right, our Mu'amalat, Mu'ashar, everything is in its place, so that we remain steadfast on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in detail with regards to the conversation of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and his father, that Azar, where he told his father that inni waisqala Ibrahim li abi Azar atattakhiz aslaman aliha, that, oh my father, are you taking gods, idols as your gods? Inni araka wa qawmaka fi dalalin mubin, I see you and your people are in manifest error. Thereafter he also noticed there were people in his time worshipping the stars, the moon and the stars, and the sun. So now, very how beautifully, with such wisdom and what strategy he used to make amar nahi anil munkar. So to say, he told them, let me put myself in your shoes. And then he explained to them that, oh look, I see a beautiful star. But when he disappeared, he said, how can I worship a star which has vanished and disappeared? Similarly, with regards to the qamar, oh, and he told those people, look how beautiful the moon is, that how shiny it is, this is my Rabb. But when it disappeared, then it made him understand, how can I worship such a moon which disappears? Similarly, with regards to the sun, then he said, inni wajahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen, that I turn my face in the direction of that being who has created the heavens and the earth. Wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen, I am not of those who associate partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how beautiful, what beautiful lessons there are for those creatures and those who are giving da'wat. So how, what beautiful wisdom and how beautiful explanation he gave. Thereafter the last ayat will discuss that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَ فُرَادَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِكُمْ. Allah says that indeed on the day of Qiyamah, all of you will come single, that all of you will come alone towards me, just like how I created the initial time. That it means that how every person was created initially, and they will come likewise on the day of Qiyamah, naked and uncircumcised. And the after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, the first person to give an apparel and clothes will be Hazrat Ibrahim Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. The after Allah says, وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِكُمْ. And O people who have come to me, you are left behind you, which we have blessed you with regards to your wealth. That is why it is mentioned when a person passes away, the malaika ask, what did you send forward with regards to a'mal? And those who remain behind, that means his inheritance, etc., they ask the question, what amwal did he leave behind? What wealth did he leave behind? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even told us that ad-dunya darun liman darala, that this dunya is a house and abode for that person who has no abode. And it is imanun liman la mala lahu, it is wealth for that person who has no wealth. And only that person who will accumulate for this dunya, who that person has no intelligence. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will ask a certain person, that, oh my banda, I gave you so much of wealth, so much of bounties, what did you do with it? So he'll say, oh Allah, I gathered it, thammartahu, I invested it, I multiplied it, and I left it behind. Again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, you'll give the same reward. Oh Allah, send me back that whatever wealth, whatever things I left behind, I invested it, I multiplied it. And thereafter this person will be thrown and flung into hell fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So like how it was mentioned in today's Fajr Salah, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an dhikrillah. That don't let your children or your wealth become obstacle in regards to spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ يَأْتِيَ أَحْدَكُمْ الْمَوْتِ. Allah says, do good actions, spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before death overtakes you. Why? When the person now he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now he'll regret. He'll say, oh Allah, send me back. Allah says, kalla, this is impossible. Once you come to me, there is no return flight back. Now a person will have to give accountability for his deeds, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hisab kitab very easy and grant our good books of deeds in our right hand and enters into Jannatul Firdaus without any hisab kitab, inshaAllah.